This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Connison with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. Now, the Sarawak government last week announced its fifth special assistance package involving an allocation of 405 million ringgit. And this is to help ease the burden of the people facing the COVID-19 pandemic and recent floods.
Yeah, so the Sarawak chief minister has come out to say this special assistance will be channeled through 11 measures involving discounts, exemptions, deferment of payments of licenses, land premiums, as well as some SME loans. And so this package will involve a monthly electricity bill discount of between 5 and 25% and also monthly water bill discount between 10 and 25%. Makes me want to move to Sarawak now.
Now, the third measure is a 50% discount on all market and stall rentals, as well as permit and license payments exemptions for small traders registered with local authorities. Now, following this latest assistance, the state government has allocated about a total of 3 billion ringgit or thereabouts of aid since its first package in March last year. Now, to learn more about this and find out more, we have Dr. Dayang Afiza Awang Marikan, Associate Professor at the Faculty of Economics and Business at the University of Malaysia, Sarawak. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Doctor. Now, while the entire country is under an MCO until next week, Sarawak is the only exception with a CMCO being imposed. How has the state's economy been faring under these circumstances?
All right. Thank you very much for the invitations. So when we look at the number of COVID cases in Malaysia, it doesn't seem to be slowing down with every day four-digit cases. Even for Sarawak, we have a well-organized and systematic SOP in handling the spread of the COVID. I would say that it's among the best states in terms of its SOP to enter Sarawak. Yet, even Sarawak itself continued to record triple-digit cases daily, even yesterday with three fatalities, with Cebu, Miri and Bintulu, with the highest cases. Economy-wise, we are still in a slow recovery stage with slow economic activities, but it's still progressing and the businesses are actually operating as usual.
Now, Chinese New Year, though, is coming soon as well. So how do you see retailers being affected given the waning consumer confidence during this time?
Yeah, Chinese New Year is coming soon, and yet the cases are still, worrying. With the CMCO for Sarawak, the businesses are still operating as usual with strict SOP. If compared to the MCO in Peninsular Malaysia, only 5 essential economic sectors that are allowed to be operated, for example, like manufacturing, construction, services, etc. With the number of cases still fluctuating with 3 digits daily, in Sarawak, consumers are more cautious in spending, not going out, less window shopping, less spending on unnecessary things, and most activities are online. Cautious buying especially, and calculated buying. So if this continues, and there shall be less spending in the economics, and recovery process will be halted. The businesses especially, despite this situation, still, they need to be allowed to operate as usual. They should be allowed to earn living.
The state government announced this fifth package of the Bantuan Khas Sarawak Ku Sayang, involving an allocation of 405 million ringgit. In your view, is this enough and sufficiently targeted?
Okay, the BKSS 5.0 is a continuation from the previous BKSS last year, 4.0. So the highlight of this year BKSS is actually to increase the disposable income of people, targeting to assist the B40 as well as the small medium enterprise. When you look at the incentive given, for example, like 5% to 25%, as you said, you want to move to Sarawak, as well as the 50% housing installment, that is for the rakyat. As for the businesses, we are looking at extension of the moratorium and the exemption of the permit and the license. So overall, we are looking at the ease on the disposable income so people can have more money to spend during this difficult time by reducing its overhead cost. Yet, we also need to look at the people who is actually under the radar. Under the radar is those who actually doesn't have any access to digital technology, especially the rural area. Also, the fact that some lost their jobs on the daily income basis, daily income jobs. So that's mean no money, no food, not even food to eat. So focus should be given to basic expenditure in Sarawak. Because bear in mind that the pandemic has prolonged since last year, people are still struggling for real.
So, Dr. Dayang, I mean, BKSS 5 was criticized as being too much of a copy of BKSS 4 rather than being specifically formulated to deal with the current COVID-19 pandemic. What's your estimation of this criticism? Does this current package suit the circumstances that we're facing?
Okay, we've been having this pandemic ever since the last year, so it's not a new thing. So continuation of BKSS 5 from the BKSS 4 from last year, it should focus more on the basic expenditure, basic things for the people, as well as I mentioned. For example, like maybe they can focus on the food package instead. Because if you look at the BKSS 4 and BKSS 5, it is more for the ease of disposable income. But if people has no income, what to spend? So that's the issue now that I'm looking, because the struggling has been more than a year now.
Doctor, let's move this conversation over to the COVID-19 vaccines, because it's been noted that Sarawak is planning to buy its own vaccines if the national vaccination program does not cover all the state's 2.2 million people. Do you have any insight into the state's ability to finance these vaccines?
Okay, if you look at the vaccines things, the first batch of vaccine should be provided for the frontliners, because provided it's really safe and there's no side effects, because we heard a lot of things about these things. Then it should be to those with the high risk groups. And then those the remaining are those who did not get the free vaccines from the federal. So the Sarawak itself, okay, Sarawak, the states should be able to cover the cost of vaccine for all of the Sarawakian. Bear in mind that the state of Sarawak has its short-term and long-term and medium measure on this, on how to control this pandemic. So vaccines cost is embedded in both states and federal budget. So it should not be a problem at all for Sarawak to actually cover the cost, the remaining cost of the vaccines for the Sarawakians.
And based on your concerns, what is your outlook for Sarawak's economy in 2021?
Okay, if you look at the part that in this pandemic era, okay, we are still progressing slowly. Okay, besides, the cases are still, despite the economy is still slowing down, the cases are still increasing. And if government is to inject more fiscal stimulus to the Sarawak economics, then Sarawak will be actually recovering well, provided there is, you know, the provided things are getting better. But looking at this, the fact that both Sarawak, both Peninsula and Sarawak is having an increase, a spike in numbers, we should be preparing in terms of more contingency plan and restructuring in the budget.
Now, there are also talks of the state government possibly planning to go ahead with state elections despite the declaration of the emergency. Dr. Dayang, do you have a sense of what is the ground feeling regarding a state election for Sarawak in 2021 amidst the threat of the pandemic?
RMCO outlined that there's no massive gathering, so we are in the RMCO. Even if we might not have Hari Raya this year, even Chinese New Year, yeah, coming Chinese New Year, there is no massive gathering that like what we should normally have. What more if it's election with thousands and hundreds of people? Sabah COVID's fiasco is to be repeated here if the government proceed with the physical election. People are in the stage of cautious, even fear to go out, even fear to go to the mall. And the high cases every day, they are scared. So even it has proven that Sabah state election was among the cases of the spike in COVID-19. So in general, political wise, there will be a landslide victory if we continue the election, as well as people will be angry and there will be not a healthy situation for everybody.
Sorry, when you say landslide, you are saying for the incumbent governments or the opposition?
Okay, political-wise, the Peninsula politician will not be able to come and have, you know, and promote their parties here in Sarawak. So it's only one side victory that we are looking here.
Dr. Dayang, thanks so much for your time this morning. That was Dr. Dayang Afiza Awan Marikan, of Associate Professor of Faculty and Economics and Business at the University of Malaysia, Sarawak, breaking down for us the situation in Sarawak there. And I think she so eloquently put at the end there, if we can't celebrate festivals, why are we talking about elections at this point? And yes, there are examples internationally of Singapore and Korea and a few other, and also New Zealand, that have done elections well, but we had a Sabah state election and it didn't turn out well for us in terms of case numbers.
Yes, I think it's just way too risky. And in any case, Sarawak has still, I think, the 6th of August or 7th of August to hold their election. So there is still some time.
Yeah, I think it will really depend on how we see case numbers as a whole, right? And in the meantime, there are issues still yet to be addressed that Dr. Dayang pointed out. Problems with basic, you know, basic amenities and income. Because if you're talking about income relief and people have no income, what recourse do they have?
Well, if you want to learn more about Sarawak, you can check out our Breakfast Grill with Dr. Sri Alexander Natalingi, Minister of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs and a Sarawak politician. That title is Price Controls, Subsidies or Cash Handouts, What Works for the Rakyat. But right now, speaking of the Breakfast Grill, in a little bit, Noel Lim is going to be speaking with Dr. Sri FD Iskandar, Group Managing Director of Glomac Berhad. That's happening after the news bulletin. And stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.